Tonight's top stories, leader of the Islamic Revolution says arrogant powers are using pressure and sanctions to force Iranians into surrender. Iranian president underlines the need to make structural modifications to the country's economy. Iran's ambassador to the United Nations says Tehran is fully committed to application of IAEA safety regulations. Iran says the non-aligned movement denounces double standards and politicized approaches as major obstacles in dealing with terrorism. And at least 40 people have been killed and over 200 others wounded in a wave of terrorist attacks in Iraq. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. First of all, leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says the Iranian nation knows that arrogant powers are using pressures and sanctions to force them into surrender. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei made the remarks in a meeting with Iranian Armed Forces intelligence staff on Wednesday. The leader said by imposing sanctions and mounting pressures, the arrogant front is doing everything to force the Iranian nation to surrender, but this nation endures all hardships because it has realized the enemy's plots, tactics, and strategic goals. Ayatollah Khamenei said that the Islamic Republic is the manifestation of divine promises, and despite all pressures and enemy plots, the Islamic establishment is now respected, powerful, and influential in regional and in international affairs. The leader noted that during Iran's post-election unrest in 2009, the enemy thought that a decade of hatching plots against the Islamic Republic has yielded results. But the Iranian nation came to the scene and responded to the plots of its international opponents and opposition, not to mention domestic mercenaries who are nothing in the face of the greatness of the Iranian nation. Now, the Iranian president has underlined the need to make structural modifications to the country's economy as a means to overcome the sanctions imposed against the Islamic Republic. Addressing a majlis or parliament open session, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said that through structural modifications, the nation can employ national capacities, overcome sanctions, and disappoint the enemy. The Iranian president attended the majlis session to provide the Iranian lawmakers with the latest information about the country's economy. He noted that sanctions have been imposed on Iran to impede the country's progress and development. President Ahmadinejad went on to say that the full implementation of the country's measures could help the country out of cut dependence on oil revenues. Now, Iran's ambassador to the United Nations says Tehran is fully committed to the application of the International Atomic Energy Agency's safety regulations in all of its nuclear facilities. Mohammad Khazoui made the remark in a written response to an article published on January 2nd by the New York Times. He said Iran's nuclear safety regulations ensure that nuclear facilities are designed in accordance with the latest state-of-the-art technology and without undue risk to the health and safety of the personnel, the public, next generations, and the environment. The Iranian diplomat also noted that the IAEA has conducted numerous inspections of Iran's nuclear facilities, including the Bushehr nuclear power plant, to address the safety. Now, Iran's deputy permanent representative to the UN says the non-aligned movement has denounced double standards and politicized approaches as major obstacles in a way of firmly dealing with terrorism. Ghulam Hossein Dehghani said the NAM considers insufficient the current measures adopted to fight terrorism in the international arena and calls for a more active role by the international community in this regard.
I have the pleasure to speak today on behalf of the non-aligned movement. Terrorism is a common threat faced by the international community. The NAM has always supported decisive combat against all forms of terrorism wherever and whenever they occur, and believes that counter-terrorism efforts should be immune of any politicization and double standards. Otherwise, such efforts will be off track, run counter the original intent to fight terrorism, or even give rise to impunity for perpetrators. Counter-terrorism efforts should be based on international cooperation with a strengthened coordination and synergy, and the United Nations should play the central coordinating role.
Moving on, the commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guard Corps, the IRGC, says the Iranian armed forces will be unyielding in their response to any enemy threat. Major General Mohammad Ali Jafari on Wednesday pointed to the complete readiness of Iranian armed forces to face enemy threats. Jafari said in response to any kind of enemy aggression, the country has envisioned unyielding reactions. The Iranian commander added that the enemies of the Islamic Revolution are in risk and that they think that by spreading this crisis to other parts of the world, they will be able to control the public opinion of their nations. Jafari stated that outdated and tired scenarios that enemies use against the Iranian nation will have no result but strengthening the pillars of the Islamic Revolution. And before we continue, here's a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution says arrogant powers are using pressure and sanctions to force Iranians into surrender. Iranian president underlines the need to make structural modifications to the country's economy. Iran's ambassador to the UN says Tehran is fully committed to application of IAEA safety regulations. Iran says a non-aligned movement denounces double standards and politicized approaches as major obstacles in dealing with terrorism. And at least 40 people have been killed and over 200 others wounded in a wave of terrorist attacks across Iraq. Dozens of people have been killed in three coordinated car bombings in the northern Syrian province of Idlib. The bombings came only a day after two explosions hit Aleppo University in Syria's second largest city, killing over 85 people and injuring more than 160 others. A recent UN report revealed that militants from 29 countries have so far infiltrated into Syria. Most of them are extremist Salafis. Meanwhile, Syrian Prime Minister says Damascus will negotiate with the opposition if they agree to lay down their arms. Al-Halqi said in peace initiative put forward by President Bashar al-Assad, the Syrian government has tried to consider negotiations with all political groups and parties in the country. The premier also praised Iran's support for the Arab country and held cooperation agreements signed with his Iranian counterparts during his two-day visit of Tehran. Elsewhere in the Middle East, Bahraini demonstrators have once again taken to the streets in several towns and villages to protest against the Al-Khalifa regime. The protesters chanted slogans against the regime and called for the immediate release of political prisoners. A new release of U.S. Defense Department's documents revealed that Washington has been providing the Al-Khalifa regime with weapons and combat vehicle parts. The United States has also been giving MENAMA communications equipment, Black Hawk helicopters, and a missile system. The Bahraini regime has arrested many activists, politicians, and medical personnel over the past months. Recently, Bahrain's highest court upheld jail terms and life sentences to dozens of activists, a move denounced by human rights groups. The Bahraini uprising began in February 2011, and the regime promptly launched a brutal crackdown on the protesters and called in forces from neighboring Persian Gulf states to help quell the unrest. Now, at least 40 people have been killed and over 200 others wounded in a wave of terrorist attacks across Iraq. A car bomb went off in a commercial street in the northern city of Kirkuk near the local headquarters of the Kurdistan Democratic Party on Wednesday, leaving at least 16 people dead and 190 others injured. The bombing was apparently meant to strike local offices of the Kurdistan Democratic Party, led by Masoud Barzani, the president of the Kurdistan region. Another car bomb attack south of Kirkuk claimed the lives of four people and injured about 30 others. The attack was carried out near the offices of Patriotic Union of Kurdistan of Iraqi President Jalal Talibani. In Baghdad, officials said five people were killed in three separate attacks. Elsewhere, a series of bomb attacks in the cities of Biji and Tikrit north of the capital left two people killed and six others injured. No group has claimed responsibility for the bombings. Now, a huge explosion rocked Afghanistan's capital, Kabul, killing several people, including two Afghan guards. The bombing was carried out in front of the gates of the Afghan intelligence headquarters in Kabul. Afghan officials said nearly 30 people were injured in the bomb attack. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the bombing.
A group of suicide bombers, there were six in numbers, using two vehicles. First, they exploded the first one and wanted to enter one of the NDS campuses. Fortunately, five of the others were identified and they were killed by the security guards in this place.
Now, the suicide rate in the U.S. military rose again last year, with 349 personnel taking their own lives in 2012. The figure was published by the military newspaper Stars and Stripes and confirmed by the U.S. Department of Defense spokeswoman. In May 2012, U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta called suicide one of the most complex and urgent problems the Pentagon is dealing with. According to the U.S. Department of Defense suicide event, there has been a jump in the number of suicides in the U.S. military in recent years, with 295 in 2010 and 301 in 2011. The report has been published every year since 2008. Now, a helicopter crashed into a crane and fell on a crowded street in central London during rush hour on Wednesday, sending black plumes of smoke into the air as it smashed to the ground. Officials said two people were killed and 14 others were injured. Witnesses said the helicopter hit a crane atop of a 50-story residential building under construction. The cause of the crash was not immediately clear.
We were sitting having a coffee at about 7:30 and we just heard an explosion. It sounded like a fighter plane flying over and we just heard a loud explosion and we thought it would be a terrorist attack. And we came straight out onto the main road and there was huge piles of smoke over the back there. And somebody had shouted, the guys were running out of sight, and they just shouted that there's been a plane flown into the crane there. So, you know, we tried to see if anyone was hurt.
I was on top of the building, on top of the job over the road. I see the helicopter come over, hit the top of the jib of the crane, and the helicopter come crashing down. The cab come crashing down into the road, and the jib of the crane went straight into the job, into the side of the building. It's hanging out of the building as it is now.
Elsewhere in Europe, Germany's Federal Statistical Office says the country's economy was hit hard by a decline in growth in the last quarter of 2012, which registered a record over the past 3 years. The Statistics Office reported that the German economy shrunk by 0.5% in the fourth and final quarter of 2012. The overall growth for 2012 sharply declined to 0.7% from 3% registered in 2011. Experts say that Germany, which is the largest economy in Europe, will be less of a support in 2013 for the rest of the Eurozone, where many countries are in deep recession. Europe plunged into financial crisis in early 2008. The worsening debt crisis has forced the EU governments to adopt harsh austerity measures and tough economic reforms, which have triggered incidents of social unrest and massive protests in many European countries. And finally, recent figures released for a month of November suggest that Italy remains deep in recession ahead of a general election in the country. According to data released by the country's National Institute for Statistics, ISTAT, Italy witnessed a 1% drop in its industrial output in November. The fall follows a 1.1% drop in October, marking the country's third steep consecutive monthly decline. The recent industrial output figure shows a 7.6% fall from the same month last year. The Eurozone's third largest economy also faced a 2.1% decline in its energy production and a 1.3% drop in investment goods output in November. The Bank of Italy says under the government of Prime Minister Mario Monti, Italy's public debt reached its highest level of 2 trillion euros in October. Italy also has the second highest debt level in the Eurozone. Greece holds the worst Eurozone GDP debt level. Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Goodbye.